Hello, and welcome to Adela Wisdom's introduction show. My name is Adela Wisdom, and I am running for United States Congress, U.S. Representative, and the 3rd Congressional District of Missouri. I live in Williamsburg in Callaway County. I am 42 years old, and I moved to Williamsburg about 7 years ago. I purchased my grandfather's property, so I'm a small farmer on about 8 acres, and I just wanted to start doing a daily show where I cover every topic that everybody has questions about and that I think a lot of our politicians don't address. And so if you follow me on social media, you'll see I've been doing a daily question. I've covered topics from the opioid crisis, cannabis prohibition, term limits, Second Amendment, Republican versus Democrat, healthcare, judicial reform, CAFO, education, Pledge of Allegiance, school health care, jury nullification, pro-life and pro-death, and today I'm also going, my question is going to be regarding the death penalty. So I do a written response to every question. I follow it up with a live video, and then I'm going to do a live radio show like I'm doing today, which gives anybody the ability to come call in, discuss the topics a little bit more in depth with me, and just giving me the opportunity to cover every single base that I can and answer every question that I absolutely can. So I am a constitutional Republican, but I think I have the ability to bring something different to the table. I understand that you don't have to be so far left or so far right, that there's got to be compromise in Congress. And it's okay to vote outside of your party lines. After all, we are representing we the people. I understand that as a civil servant, it would be my job to represent the will of my constituency. So even if I have a personal opinion about something, I understand that it's just simply that. It's my personal opinion. And at the end of the day, our elected officials should be representing the will of their community, of their constituency. So I'm excited to get to office and to be able to bring that change to Congress. So desperately need a change to Congress. I'm also a federally recognized Native American from the Cherokee tribe of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, which I think is really amazing because there's just a lot of topics I get to bring into that, like healthcare. I was able to bring my Native American aspect to healthcare. And if you go to my website, delawisdom.com, and go to issues, you can see what I have to say about that. So I get to bring a really different perspective into it. And I just think that it's necessary and it's needed in today's chaos of our Congress, because it doesn't seem anybody can get along. And I just think that's absolutely horrible. So I was born in Stanford University, Palo Alto, California, on March 7th, 1977. I moved to Hawaii with my mother and my oldest brother. My mom was a lineman. She climbed telephone poles. She was part of the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. She was actually the first woman to get in and be a lineman in Hawaii. She climbed telephone poles and she was on commercials, and she was just a real inspiration to me as a single mom raising me and my brother, and also being passionate about her career and you know, changing gender lines, right? Women weren't supposed to be climbing telephone poles. But I moved at age 12. I moved in with my father and my two younger brothers in San Diego, California, with my stepmother. And my father and my mother both come from very, very big families. My mom is one of nine, and my father is also one of nine. I have many, many first cousins in San Diego. And when I moved there, I went from being in Hawaii to having my mom and my brother to being in San Diego and having 20, 30 cousins and 18 aunts and uncles, and just really being exposed to my extended family. I have a total of 6 brothers, 3 half-brothers and 3 step-brothers. I have at least 13 nieces and nephews. I just recently got married last month, July 20 or June 21st. And my husband has 6 sisters. So we have quite a big family. I have 6 brothers and he has 6 sisters. And so that extended my nieces and nephews to a lot. Don't know the exact number, but there is a lot. He has 2 American Samoan sisters. His stepdad was Samoan. And we actually had the privilege and honor of being able to go to American Samoa and live there. I was a teacher on the island. I taught freshman, sophomore, Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. And I was also a junior high art appreciation ceramics teacher. And it was wonderful. I had absolutely a blast. I'd just never been exposed to anything like that. And it definitely changed my life. It was the epitome of a teacher. I had students bringing me apples, and it was just a really wonderful experience. I built a lot of character learning to be a teacher. I'm not a mother, despite wanting to be a mother. So this really gave me an opportunity to, I don't know, be exposed to children in a different atmosphere. And it was just really enlightening, and I really enjoyed it. We moved back from Samoa to California. We weren't out there that long. We were only there for about 6 months before we decided to move out to Missouri, which, like I said, I purchased my grandfather's property right after he passed away. And we fell in love with the community. I love Callaway County. I love where I live. I love my neighbors. Having the freedom to have a job that's not a 9-to-5 job, but I'm a farmer. We sell our products at local farmers markets on the sides of the roads. And having limited to no restrictions and the freedom that we have here, the freedom of being able to make a living on stuff that we're passionate about, being able to buy a house, being able to buy land, was just all really amazing. When in San Diego, I did go to Grossmont Community College. I got my associate's degree there, and I transferred to San Diego State University. I was a finance major. But during my senior year, I was in a bicycle accident, and I severely broke my right foot. I broke 4 metatarsals and my cuboid bone, and I almost lacerated off my big toe on my left foot. So I didn't walk for quite a while, for almost 4 years without assistance. But right after my accident, I was bedridden for a better part of 6 months. And I lost my job. I was working for two enrolled agents. I did IRS tax accounting, and I was no longer able to work, and that changed my life. And I was on a lot of painkillers. I was on so many painkillers that I was getting symptoms from that and getting more medicine to combat the symptoms of being on all these opioids, because I had surgery, 7 screws and a plate put in my foot, and physical therapy later. I broke my foot again. I was in wheelchair lost strand crutches, to a cane, to a walker. I literally did everything. And it was a hard road to recovery, and I didn't want to be on pain pills anymore. And so I became an activist in alternative medicine, and I advocated for safe access to cannabis. I worked with my local city council, and I just advocated that people have safe access to an alternative medicine. And that's when I became involved in the cannabis community, just having to do different things because I was no longer able to have the lifestyle that I had had prior to my accident. So I've been in the political arena for quite a while. I've testified at county board of supervisor meetings, city council meetings, town council, coastal commission on issues ranging from, I don't know, local skate parks, the importance of lifeguards, and of course, safe access to cannabis. I was also elected and sat on the Linda Vista Town Council. I was also an advisor for the San Diego City Council Medicinal Marijuana Task Force, and I sat on Mayor Bob Filner's Medical Marijuana Board. I even had the privilege of attending and speaking at the United Nations UNGAS in New York regarding judicial reform with my partner, Dennis Boisvert, who helped me co-found POW 420, which is a website that advocates for judicial reform on inmate or just all around. People don't belong in prison for pot or for another of other arrays of things that people serve lifelong sentences for. So we just advocate for that, sharing people's stories and gaining support for that. I wanted to bring Dennis back on right now. He's on the line with me, and just have him talk a little bit about POW 420. All right. Hi. Hello, Dennis. How are you? I'm going to give you a minute to talk really quick and introduce yourself. So go at it.
My name is Dennis Boisvert. I am a retired municipal employee from the city of San Diego. I worked in water, wastewater, and distributing and collection systems. After I retired, I started working with Adela in going to the city council and helping to introduce collectives and complying with, at that time, was 215. And Adela was adept at doing some political moves, and we actually did get it on the city docket. And now today, there's safe access in San Diego. Also, it evolved into POW 420, which was for all the people that have been in jail for cannabis-only crimes. And that evolved into prison reform and also into a trip in the UN.
Exactly was what you were just talking about. That POW 420 organization actually matriculated to when I moved to Missouri, because we were already advocating for a wonderful man named Jeff Mazansky. And when I got here, you were able to help me work into the system, into the prison system, and be able to go and interview these people. We were able to interview Jeff Mazansky in prison and take cameras and record a live interview. We even were able to do Natalie DePriest and her brother David DePriest, who were sentenced to 67 years for 12 cannabis plants. Jeff was sentenced to life without a possibility of parole. And that also matriculated into allowing me to do some political activism out here, where I was able to testify at the Capitol about HB 978, which was a bill simply to get Jeff out. So I just think it's funny how, even though a lot of my activism ironically started off because of a severe accident, led and allowed to POW, or my activism to cannabis, which led to POW 420. And then even when I moved here, I was still able to continue that fight. And I just think it's really amazing that we were able to go. Everything starts, right? Like my activism when started with city council, going there every Wednesday. That's how we met. And you had seen me there speaking. And then how that's come to the fact that I am tired of watching people being in office, not taking action. I think it's funny. And you might find this a little sense of humor right here. You know, Joe Biden saying, it's time for change. And how come, we need to get people in office that are going to make change. But he's been there for 30 years. Why haven't they done anything? We have all these people saying they want to be the change and they want to do something, but they've had years and years and years to do stuff. Like I'm running for, United States Congress. And so far there's four of us that's going to be on the ballot. There's three Republicans and one Democrat. The one Republican is my incumbent, Blaine Lutemeyer. He's been there since 2008. And then Chadwick Hickman, I'm not sure of his name. He ran against him in 2018. And there's a lovely lady who's a Democrat that's also running. And I live in a red state. With that just being said, that it's pretty difficult for a Democrat to win. And let me also say this to a lot of people that don't realize how difficult it is to get on the ballot in Missouri as another party. The sheer amount of signatures I would have to collect prior just to get on the ballot. I probably need more signatures to get on the ballot as a libertarian or a constitutionalist than I would need people that would vote for me. Isn't that crazy, Dennis? Don't you think it should be equal? Like every party? See, I'm not afraid of some competition. I think it's great. And I'm a Republican, because I believe in less government, not more. But first and foremost, I'm a constitutionalist. You know what I mean? I believe in my constitution. And if I had the if it was easier, I would entertain running on a different platform, but it's not easy. And I think that's something that's a big issue that that nobody addresses, right? Like, I don't know. How about this? So I was, getting ready for my bank account, and I look on the FEC Ethics Commission, Federal Ethics Commission, and the MEC, Missouri's Ethics Commission. I'm always interested. You can find the donations that people give. And I noticed that one of my opposition's running, and this is borderline, whatever you want to call it. He has only so many donations from Missouri. And out of all of them that are from Missouri, everybody that donated to him works at two companies. So a company and organization is not supposed to donate to you, right? But individuals that work for a company can donate to you. But it just seems kind of odd. But, 10 of the 15 people happen to work at the same company. And they were max donations, and which is like $2,800. I, I wish that money didn't win campaigns. How do you feel about
money
that,
buys
Dennis?
Influence. So, money buys influence. That's what it's about. Is that money buying influence for the companies that are donating to him? Or are they donating to him because they know that he won't be influenced by their donations? That's where the rub is. I mean, you know, certainly people donate. Like, I donate to your campaign, and it isn't going to do me any good. I'm a California resident.
Oh, wait.
Right?
Hold on. Let me. You brought up something wonderful. I've been wanting to address this issue. As a matter of fact, it does make a difference to you, even though you're in California. Yes, I would be in Congress to represent Missouri, but everybody in Congress makes decisions for our nation, not just that state. So, for example, you wanted a lobby about, I don't know, getting Jimmy Romans out of prison for serving a life sentence for cannabis only, dry case, never been busted with anything. Who would you knock on when you lobby? You would come to my office, even though you're in California. You know, Jimmy Romans is in Indiana. You know, that's where he's from. So see how making sure that you support all people running for Congress with your same views, because I would be the person you lobby it for, you lobby to. So it does make a difference. And that's why I'm telling everybody, you want to make a difference. You want to get somebody into office that's really going to go with your views. Donate to my campaign. Make it possible. I want to do a $4.20 every day at 420 campaign. You know, if I got 6,000 people to donate $4.20, I'd have $25,000. Do you know one of my opponents right now has already earned $600,000 for this campaign?
I would imagine. I think you should mention their names. I mean, you're not talking anything negative.
Oh, the incumbent. I'm not. Blaine Lukenmeier. He's already raised $600,000. As a matter of fact, in the 2018 election, he had like $2.4 million. And the seconded highest campaign or highest candidate for contributions was the Democrat at $35,000. So you riddle me, how is anybody supposed to compete with Blaine Lukenmeier when he's got millions of dollars? This is why I support term limits. That's also another issue that I talked about. Missouri State has term limits, thank goodness, but feds do not. Lukenmeier's been in there since 2008. I don't even know what he's doing. I don't know what he's putting forth.
That's another thing. What's his voting record?
Yes, I want a perfect voting record. When I get into Congress, I will make that pledge. I will get 100% voting record. I will take pride in that. I will take pride in doing my job. And as a matter of fact, I want to bring something else to Congress. I want to do videos every single day about bills that get thrown on your desk 20 minutes before you're supposed to vote. That's 5,000 pages long. Better yet, you get a bill you're supposed to vote on that's highly redacted, blacked out, truncated because it's classified and you can't see it, but you're supposed to vote on it. How are our Congress representatives, our congressmen and women, Congress members, I have to make sure I'm semantically correct, right? Pronouns and whatnot nowadays. How are they supposed to do their job? Yes, they got staffers, but we can't just be rushing things through. And I'm ready for real reform to be passed through Congress and through the House. I am tired of hearing things like, I don't care about your tweets. I may not agree with everything President Trump says, but I don't care. You know, like I got kind of bashed today because Aaron Wisdom posts stuff on his page. That's his page. He's got a freedom of speech. He can post whatever he wants to do. And I respect that. I respect our Constitution. And even though he's my husband, I don't always agree with him. As a matter of fact, anybody listening, Dennis epitomizes a relationship of how we go back and forth. He voted for Obama. And I yelled at him every time for voting for Obama. But we're still the best of friends, even though we have such political differences in a lot of our views. But I think that epitomizes what I'm trying to tell everybody. Like, I can bring this to the table. I can talk to you. You're 69 years old. I know how to communicate with you. I also know how to communicate with an 18-year-old. I'm 42. I feel like I'm the medium in between it, right? Like, I didn't go to high school with cell phones, but my brother, who's 10 years younger than me, he did. My first job, I made $3.25 an hour, which I'm not saying is, it's closer to what you made. My first brother's first job was $15 an hour. There's definitely a gap difference between you and, say, you know, an 18-year-old. I just really feel like I could bring that to the table. You know what I mean by that? Because we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, I do. I think basically it's being open-minded and not considering that you're better than anybody else, and you're able to bring, then you're able to listen. I mean, that's the trick, is listening to what people are telling you, right?
Yeah, and having an open mind about what they're telling you, you know, because I may not always agree. I'm always willing to learn. And so one of my minors in college was the art of argumentation. I love rhetoric, you know, like in propaganda. I can read between those lines and ethos and logos and pathos. It's just, it's really amazing to hear. And the media does it, right? They use inflammatory language, or they use, someone said, why didn't you say pro-life and anti-choice or anti-life? Because those are negative words. I use pro-life and pro-choice because everybody's opinion is valid. And if you start off with a negative, go on.
When you challenge somebody in their ideas, and you start off with saying you're wrong, and the language that you use, the debate and the conversation is not going to go very well.
No, I agree.
Right?
I agree, Dennis. I agree with you, and I really appreciate everything that you've done in helping me with my campaign and contributing to me and donating to my candidacy. I know that you know that I really believe in this, and I'm in it because I care about people. I'm a passionate person. I'm passionate about more than just cannabis prohibition. Judicial reform is really my Achilles tendon. I really believe that we can do more. President Trump has already really done a lot for judicial reform, but that's an issue I'm passionate about. I'm going out of my way to learn about more topics, from touring a nuclear power plant. I'm going to be touring a CAFO facility later on next month, learn a little bit more, and maybe I can talk about some of the myths or the misconceptions about CAFO, and just bring differences into it. I'm not bought and paid for, folks. I am not owned by big money. I am here because I care about you guys and ladies. I want to represent you. I'm going to be available to you. My phone number is 573-310-9125. 573-310-9125. My email is Adela. That's Adela. wisdom@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns, call me, email me. I'm on Facebook, Adela Wisdom on Facebook. And then I also have a Adela Wisdom for U.S. Congress page. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I am available to answer any and all of your questions. And even if we don't agree on every single topic, don't bail out on me yet. Listen to me, because I'm going to answer every question that people have. Can you say the same for all of my other opponents that are running against me? Are they answering your questions? I'm ready to go to a debate. I will debate any topic with any person. I will go to your house and have dinner, and we can discuss it. I'm available for meet and greets. I'm going to be going to local parks, offering free barbecues. It's going to be hot dogs. That's what I'm going to be offering. Free food, chips, water. Get an opportunity to just talk to my neighbors and learn more about what issues you all care about. I know that there's a lot of things specifically in Missouri that are really important to us, like infrastructure. Our roads are horrendous. Wi-Fi. A lot of people still don't have good internet access. And so those are a lot of the things that I want to talk about, farming rights and whatnot. And so I'm really excited to be your representative. I really appreciate everybody's time and support, all of the feedback that you all give me on social media. Appreciate it. Go to my webpage, do personal comments, call me, email me, contact me, donate to my campaign, adelawiz.com. Every penny helps. Every cent matters. You matter. Your voice matters. Join me tomorrow while we talk about the opioid epidemic. Thank you again, Dennis, for helping me out on the dashboard and always being there for me whenever I needed help, support, and guidance. That's what our elders are there for. And I definitely am grateful for all of my elders, past and present, because without them, I wouldn't be here. And without them, we wouldn't be here. And so thank you all for tuning in. Join me tomorrow at 10 a.m. as we talk about the opioid epidemic. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you again for everything. And I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Bye.